From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know just the person who's going to help you keep it running. That's ASC-certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Good to be here. What a beautiful morning.
It is, really. What a difference, huh?
The breeze is blowing, and it's comfortable, and compared to last night, this is really something.
73. What was the dew point yesterday? 80s or around 80? I mean, it's huge. It was so humid.
I don't think, I thought I heard that we've never seen that before.
I think it may have happened. Sandy and I were talking about that. I think maybe back in 2012. Oh. I don't have that in front of me, but still, it was really brutal.
Yeah, it was
very
brutal. Yeah.
Now, you guys were open and are open today, but how has it been at the shop with all this heat?
Well, we don't use it very often, but the shop is air conditioned. It does not work. I mean, it's inefficient to use it unless you get it going and keep it going. You know, it needs
Your doors are opening.
Right.
All
but
time.
It needs the overnight to catch up.
I see.
Well, I think what really happens, Denny, is that, you know, if you keep it going for a day or two, then the toolboxes and all the tools and everything that's in there gets cooled off. And then it starts to get efficient.
More comfortable.
And do a good job. But no, it's fine. You know, you take the humidity out of the temperature inside the building, and it was great. But boy, you should have seen the water running out of the downspout from our rooftop air conditioning unit. It was like there was a rainstorm.
I bet because of all that moisture
pulling all the humidity out. But no, it was very, very, I won't say comfortable, but it was very acceptable inside the building.
What about vehicles coming in for service, for AC service?
Well, nonstop, of course.
I bet.
You can hardly drive. You can hardly drive without air conditioning when the weather's like this. It's a challenge.
If you have any kind, by the way, thanks to Steve Thompson for filling in the last couple of Saturdays for me.
Yeah, it was good to see him.
Yeah. He enjoys doing the show and enjoy listening too. 6-5, call in your car care question or send Dan a text. 651-989-9226. Same number for your text messages as well, if that's easier. 651-989-9226. We've cleared the lines, so if you want to call Dan, by all means. I was reading an article yesterday about nitrogen in tires. And the question was kind of like a Mr. Fix-It. Do I need to put nitrogen in tires? Is that better for mileage? I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have that in front of me. And the, quote, expert opinion was, with the testing that's been done, it's not really that much more as far as efficiency for miles per gallon. As long as you keep your tires inflated where they should, check them. I think they said check them once a month to see everything is okay. What do you think about nitrogen in tires?
Well, like I've said before, in theory, there's parts of it that make sense. The fact that it doesn't attract, that is drier, it does not hold moisture.
Well, that's
the way
right.
Oxygen does, and the fact that the temperature doesn't change, or the temperature change doesn't affect the molecules as much. So the air pressure does not rise in your tires when the tires get hot, and that pressure does not lower when the tires get cold. So there, you eliminate that change. So in theory, it makes sense. My opinion would be the same, though, from a practical standpoint. I've never seen that it makes a tremendous amount of difference. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
That's interesting that it doesn't increase the PSI as the things warm up. I didn't know that.
Well, the oxygen is affected a lot by temperature.
Evidently, yeah.
And nitrogen is not. So that's the difference.
All right. All right, 651-989-9226 for your texts or your phone calls. Okay, well, let's do that. Let's go to the phones. I think Vicki is first up here. Vicki, you're on with Dan. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Dan, we have a problem with our air conditioner, this heat. Yesterday, it would not work. Last year, we had Freon put into it, coolant, and it was working fine, but when we turn it on, it blows, but not like it used to when you turn it all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had nothing but hot air coming in, and it worked earlier this week, but not now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a number of things that can cause the air conditioning to not work efficiently, especially when the conditions are like they were yesterday. And if the air conditioning system's on the edge and we get heat like we did yesterday, there are safety switches that will actually shut it off. If the pressures get too low, you know, because of that extreme temperature, it'll shut the system down. So I wonder what happens this morning if it goes back to working a little bit. But the most common thing that we see wrong with an air conditioning system is that the refrigerant has leaked out, the Freon, as you called it. If it's gotten down low, then the pressures aren't right. Like I said, the system shuts down, and that's why it's not working. So I think you're probably going to find that you bring it in. You had it charged last year, and that's not uncommon that people would have to have it charged every year or two. As you can imagine, if it takes a whole year or two for that refrigerant to leak out, it's pretty difficult to find that because it's so slow. But I think if you take it in, they'll recharge it for you, and you'll probably be back in business.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Vicki. 651-989-9226. Notice how it's getting dark outside, Dan,
did,
the window. And a few minutes ago, weather watcher Dan in Lakeville said, getting dark there, continuous rumbling thunder. That's in Lakeville. Mark is calling from St. Louis Park on CCO. Mark, you're on with Dan.
Hi, Dan. I've got a G70 Genesis. It's the new model, and it seems to go down the road, and it hydroplanes. It appears to be. It's very weird.
On water, in the rain, you mean?
No, just on dry pavement.
Oh. So on dry pavement, it seems to float.
Yeah, thinking. Right, yeah. Exactly. Good term.
Well, and it's brand new?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to take it back and have them check that. First thing I would do is I wonder, you know, what the condition of the tires are. I've seen people with this sort of complaint, and I would not think of this on a brand new car, but things happen. For example, if somebody puts directional tires on and the tires are pointing in the wrong direction, when you're going down the road, you'll get that floaty feeling. It's just not right. And I think that's what you're describing is, you know, it's probably a nice fine ride, but it's just not right. Something's wrong. And so I think probably pretty quickly you should get that back and give them that description and see what they say about it. One thing that the manufacturer does is, with all cars, is they keep track of common complaints and they put out service bulletins. And so that's the first place I would look at on a newer car is, are there any service bulletins relating to something like that? And if they are, then the engineers have probably come up with a solution. So
yeah,
that would be my advice. Certainly take it back and ask if they won't check the service bulletins and see what's common about that car.
Very good, Mark. Thank you. Dan, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Callers, stay there. We're going to be right back after this quick break to get your questions answered. Text number is the same as the phone number, 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Exactly where, Dan? I know. Give us that address.
Well, it's on hot Grand Avenue today.
Yeah, but cooler
actually,
today.
Yeah, cooler today. That's true. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net. You can give us a call. Jim will be there this morning, 651-228-1316. And I'm sure you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and all those.
I know you can for a fact. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's help some folks out here who have been waiting on the line. Let's talk to Rick, who's calling in from Hopkins. Rick, you're on CCO with Dan.
Morning, Dan. Hey, I've got an older F-250, a 97, and it's a manual transmission, but I've had brake issues as of late. And what I mean by that is the passenger side rear brake would, in my opinion, start locking up a little bit because it started getting a little warm. And I had the rear brakes replaced. I had the rear drums replaced and whatever that little actuator that spreads the pads back there replaced. That same side is sticking and wanting to heat up or slow your truck down. And then I also noticed on the front brakes were new a couple years ago, very little miles on them. But it, almost like they're pulsing. You know, you put the clutch in when you're going to stop, and it seems like the front's grabbing a little bit. Now the back one's sticking, if you want to think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to think about going down the line, you know, what could be controlling all these brake issues, even though brakes and drums and rotors and everything are new.
Well,
and calipers.
Yeah, they're pretty simple, actually. I mean, if the front brakes are pulsating, pretty much the only thing that can be is that the brake rotors have warped. And the only thing that you can do is either have those machined or maybe you can get those replaced again under warranty to change rotors. And it happens with us, too. You know, we can professionally do a brake job and sometimes it's just the brand of brakes that don't agree with that particular vehicle and we have trouble with them. So we'll switch brands or we'll do something different to make it work better. On the rear, with something hanging up, unless the hydraulic parts of the brakes have failed in a quick time, which I doubt, then there's either something wrong with perhaps a self-adjuster or something like that if the brakes are truly staying applied. Or commonly what we see on a rear-wheel drive or a, you know, mostly rear-wheel drive vehicle like that with a drum brake system is perhaps you have an axle seal that has started to leak a little bit of grease into the brakes. And if that's the case, the brake shoes get contaminated and then they'll lock up like that. And so when you first were describing it, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I wonder if there's some grease or some dirt leaking in there. And if there is, then you got to get that seal repaired and get those brakes all cleaned up, get all the grease off them again with some brake parts cleaner, and that should take care of it for you.
Very good, Rick. Thanks for the call. Meanwhile, Don is calling in from Champlin. I believe, Don, you're on CCO. Good morning. Hello, Don.
How you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
Good. Okay, I have a 2013 Nissan Murano, 118,000 miles on it. A few weeks ago, my SRS light was flashing on my dashboard, side passenger airbag not functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it into Nissan, and they did a diagnostic. And by the time they were done, they were telling me that many things had to be replaced. My occupant classification system control unit had to be replaced. My system seat sensor had to be replaced. By the time they were done, labor was 841, parts 5,312, plus 378. If you add it all up, it's over 6,500 to take care of that. And my question is, does that seem reasonable, or is it something that is the fault of the company of Nissan, or does this happen once in a while?
Well, did you ask them about that? Did you ask them about a warranty on it?
And they claimed they'd never seen anything like that before, but in essence, they're replacing my whole passenger seat along with other parts. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't really have an answer for me. Now, I have called Nissan One and report. I have a case going, and they're going to investigate, but I'm just wondering if that seems...
No. Well, yeah, no. Like you, we have to follow our instinct, and like you, I would agree, no, that doesn't sound right. I mean, all of that stuff didn't just suddenly fail, and so I don't know what that is, but if you've explored having it covered under warranty and there is no warranty on the vehicle, then for sure, with that kind of money, I would go get a second opinion. And in my experience, I've never seen where the whole system would have to be replaced like that. I mean, it might need a module, might need a sensor, but I doubt if it needs everything.
So maybe a second opinion is
I
good.
I would certainly get a second opinion.
That's a lot of money.
Hopefully, I would pursue getting a covenant under warranty. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. But
yes.
If that's not the case, then if you're going to end up paying for it, you need to get another opinion.
Well, good luck with that, Don. Appreciate that. Eric, you're going to be next here on CCO after this quick break. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till just about 7:45, so don't wait. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. Same numbers, 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long in this end with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue. We'll let you know where. Dan, we've got callers. We have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out here.
Great.
Before you leave. Eric is calling from East Bethel. Eric, you're on CCO with Dan.
Well, good morning, dear gentlemen, from our lovely incorporated sand trap we call East Bethel.
Yes, indeed.
I got a quick little comment for your air conditioning thing here real quick before I get to my main question. But I remember this years ago from shop class in school. Henry Ford met up with the Coen brothers, and believe it or not, if you ever look at an older Ford air conditioner unit on a Ford vehicle, it'll say High, Max, and Low. That was the Coen brothers, Hiram, Max, and Lowell. So High, Max, and Low on your Ford air conditioning system. That's what that was.
What an anecdote.
It stuck, didn't it?
It did. What's your question, Eric?
Okay, I got an older 283 Chevrolet engine. I want to say it's about a 1957. It's got the old Rochester two-barrel on there. But for some odd reason, I have taken that carburetor apart and cleaned it out, and it's still acting like it's only on one barrel, and I'm trying to figure out if one of the jets is shot and I need to put a new jet in it.
Well, you're exactly right. If you're only getting fuel through half of the carburetor, something's plugged. And the answer is, when we do a carburetor, which is rare anymore, but back in the day when we did a carburetor, we had a liquid that we used to soak it in, and you'd soak it in there for a long time, sometimes like overnight, and in the process of soaking it like that, all of that corrosion and stuff gets out of the inside of the carburetor, and it cleans it out properly. And that's really hard to do on the bench with just carb spray and those sorts of things. It's hard to get that corrosion softened up and out of those little tiny ports that the fuel runs through. So that's what I'd recommend. Take it apart again. Find somebody that can get a liquid that you can soak it in, or I know you can buy a gallon jug of it at any parts store.
Oh, okay.
And then soak the parts in there, and I think if you put it back together again, you'll probably find that you have more success.
Wow. First carb question we've had in a long time.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Eric. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll grab some text. Paul is calling from St. Paul, I believe. Paul, go ahead, please.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, thanks.
All right, I just bought a 2000 Honda Accord, and there's an S, I think it's SRC light that's on. Does that sound right? SR something?
Probably SRS, safety, or
is that secondary restraint system, or what is that?
Yeah, it's the airbag system. Yep.
Okay, and then there's another light, I think it says, engine needs servicing or service required soon. Is that the same as a check engine light?
They're all different, and I should know all this on every particular model, but I don't. So yes, there's a check engine light, and on a 2000, there's all sorts of lights.
Yeah.
As you know, you've got one on for your airbag system. Service engine soon. That's usually if it's service engine soon, usually that's that the computer's picked up a glitch and it's stored a code and that there's problems with the powertrain system, and you need to take that in and have it checked. But then, of course, there's the maintenance light, and there's a maintenance light that comes on every so often. and to remind you to bring it in for maintenance. And if that's the case, then and you've already done the maintenance, then that light just needs to be reset. And that's a simple process. But I guess I would recommend that you, you know, search the internet and you'll find what all these lights are and what all they mean and what you have to do about them. Oftentimes, you know, if you want to reset your maintenance light, you'll find that readily available on how, the procedure how to do that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Paul. Say, let's not forget our texters before you leave, Dan. We were talking earlier in the show about nitrogen in tires. Texter says, if I switch to nitrogen in my tires, can I then add air, regular air, if needed?
Well, you can, but you contaminate them right away.
Oh, right away.
But it's diluted, which is, you know, that's a question that we face at the shop. So a vehicle comes in for repairs and it has low tires and it has those little green caps on it. What should you do? And of course, people don't want to bring it back to have the nitrogen adjusted. And, you know,
yeah.
So we simply fill them up because I think it's most important that you have proper air pressure in your
Absolutely.
Tires.
Here's an 08 Prius AC water drip line apparently plugged and dripping into the cabin, 2 inches of water on the passenger side floor. Where is the line plugged and can I unplug it myself?
Sometimes no. Not. Yeah, it's it drips through to the bottom of the vehicle and onto the roadway is how it's supposed to, where it's supposed to be dripping. Dripping into the car is, first of all, a big problem that where the water is pooling underneath the seats and things like that, there's computers and wiring harnesses and all that. So first thing you need to do is get your shop vac out and get that water out of there because that's a bad deal. You don't want to leave that in there. That's a problem. You might even have to peel the carpet back a little bit and get under the carpet, put some fans on it and get it dried out. But then, yes, you need to probably get help getting that up. And it's simple once you find the drain. It's simple to just, you know, stick something up there or whatever and clean it out. Mm-hmm. It's just plugged with organic debris. And once you clean it out, it'll drain nicely and a whole bunch of water will run out.
Will run out, yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right, very good.
But get after that. That's important.
I think we have time for one more text before we let you go. How often, texter says, should you do maintenance or flush your transmission fluid on a 2008 Buick that has over 100,000 miles on it?
Well, you should do it exactly as the manufacturer recommends, and if you look in your owner's manual, you know, every car is different and every manufacturer asks for different maintenance. So look in your owner's manual, search online, you'll find the information as to what the schedule is for your particular car. But do exactly what they recommend. You don't have to do anything more than what they recommend, but you do have to do the recommended maintenance if you want trouble-free operation, that's the best way to avoid trouble.
It's amazing what you can learn looking at the manual, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. So we have to run, Dan. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call this morning. We're open from 8 to 12, 651-228-1316.
Good deal. We'll see you 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.